Mal and the others must continue walking and following God, no matter how tired their claws and tentacles get. But how long must the pilgrims walk? And what will happen when they reach their destination? Journey with Mal in Pilgrimage, written by Michael Adam Robson, read by Tara Robson.
Part 1, Initiation. Mal crouched in the golden autumn field, unsteady on his claws, shivering in the hard wind and rain. His mother stood silhouetted by the sunset, looking down at him with a dark, unreadable eye. Her blonde fur blew, old grower leaves and bubbly young floaters gusted by. "Walk," she told him. He took a few hesitant steps, then stumbled and fell in the mud. Crushed under the weight of his shell, helpless, he looked up at her, rain falling in his face. "Walk," she repeated, more urgently now. She adjusted her pack with her back tentacles and swiveled her eye. He followed her gaze, squinting into the red sunset that burned on the green horizon, the murky vortex of an endlessly hungry storm. Ahead, he could see the others, pilgrims following the sun to a boiling summer at the edge of the world. Claws shaking, he fought to get back up. He reached a thin tentacle out, but his mother turned away. After a moment's hesitation, she walked, following the rest of the tribe off into the sunset. The cold blew at his back. He looked backward, slitted his eye against the wind. In the distance was a frozen white wasteland, swirling snow in an empty winter night. A chill of desperation crept into his body. He braced his claws with their corresponding tentacles and pushed himself up out of the mud. He took one careful step, then another, one claw after the other. Only when he'd caught up to her did his mother smile down and place a warm tentacle on his shell. Part 2, Trial of Stone. Winged gliders blew by far overhead, bound for a warmer, wilder climate. They made him nervous, but he envied them, imagining what it would be like to ride on the wind instead of crawling over the earth. "Careful, they might carry you away," said Errol. His brother was millions of steps older and thought he knew everything, but Errol was just a child himself, his shell soft, his brown fur just a shade lighter than Mal's. "Would they really take him, though?" Mal looked for their mother and saw her up ahead talking to a big male pilgrim with pale, shaggy fur. "That's Chief Hammond," Errol said. His mother nodded at what Hammond was saying, and the chief looked back at Mal. Embarrassed, he looked at the ground. There were herds of crawlers in the undergrowth, hurrying off in the same direction they were, relying on the pilgrims to show them the way. One of the creatures stopped to nibble at a flowering grower, and Mal crushed it with a claw, grabbed it with a tentacle, and brought it up to his eye. He watched the broken animal curl up, then sucked the meat out of the shell and tossed it away. When he looked up again, the chief was already walking back to the head of the tribe. "Where are we going?" he asked his mother when he'd caught up to her. "We're following God." She was looking at the sun. She was always looking at the sun. All living things follow him as he wanders the world and purifies the wickedness in it. All things follow, even the wind. He stole a glance at the red hole in the sky that pulled everything in. The great burning eye was the only visible sign of a mystery forever obscured by hot summer storms. "What happens when we reach him?" he asked. He didn't like the idea of being purified. She shook her head. "Creatures like us are too wicked and weak to walk with God. He'd boil us alive and strip the flesh from our shells." Mal stumbled and stopped. His mother turned. "But we can never stop following. Winter isn't far behind us. If we lose the light, we'll freeze." What would be worse, he wondered, boiling or freezing? "We have to keep walking to stay on the edge of day and night," she said. "If we're faithful and strong enough to follow the path laid out for us, he'll lead us home." "How long until we get there?" he asked. She laughed. "We've been walking the path to redemption for generations. Only God knows when we'll get there. Until then, the road is our home." He wondered what terrible thing they'd done, that God would punish them so cruelly, but he was afraid to ask. Part 2, Trial of Stone. As I walked, the green shadow of mountains emerged from the murk of the storm, rising to meet the sun. Directly ahead, a tall rock jutted out of the golden plain. They reached it 1,000 steps later, and Mal saw it was carved with deep lines, a map of old symbols, circles, and arrows, a waypoint. His mother was a scribe. She read the signs and discussed them with Chief Hammond. The chief sent runners, young male pilgrims, ahead to scout the path. Errol decided to chase them a bit, leaving Mal with their mother. "God at the top," she reminded him, pointing to the large half-circle representing the setting sun. "We are here," a small circle at the bottom. "And in between, a trial." A jagged line sat under the sun like a row of teeth. Arrows pointed from the small circle up to two other small circles, gaps in the teeth. Two waypoints. Two paths, leftward up a mountain and rightward down a river. "The carving is damaged." She traced a deep spidering crack in the rock with her tentacle. "It means a difficult path." "Where do waypoints come from?" he asked. He had always been fascinated with the magic writing and the secret knowledge it held. "My mother told me there are tribes that walk closer to God," she said, looking dayward, "and that they record the trials he sets in our path." "You said it was dangerous to get too close to God." "I'm not afraid," said Errol, panting as he ran up to them. "I'm going to be a runner, get as close as I can." Their mother stood and rummaged in her pack for her stone chisel and hammer. Once the path was chosen, recarving it would make it safer for the tribe and mark the way for those who lagged behind. Mal looked nightward and shivered. Who could live in that cold, empty place? He walked in that direction, feeling the lines in the rock with his tentacle. 100 steps away, on an impulse, he picked up a sharp stone and scratched out a crude self-portrait, a broad, furry shell supported by 4 long claws. Hanging underneath the shell were 4 squiggly tentacles surrounding a face with a wide, smiling eye. The eye looked off to the right, where he carved a circle, the great eye of God. He went over the lines several times, as he'd seen his mother do. Would she be impressed with his work, or would she be upset? He dropped the stone and went looking for her. When the runners returned, Chief Hammond stood and held counsel with them. Mal idled as close as he dared, listening in. "I found a clear waypoint up leftward," a big runner said with a trace of an accent. "But it's not an easy climb. Only the strong would make it." Siru was a foreigner from somewhere leftward. As a young runner, he'd stumbled on their tribe and had chosen to join them, as was his right. The chief looked at the horizon. The sun was slipping behind the high mountains. "The rightward path is easier," said another runner, but he seemed uncertain. Drell was only a little older than Errol, his fur an earthy brown. Hammond glanced over at Mal and Errol, seeming to measure them with his dark eye. "We'll go rightward." "Look at the waypoint here," Saru argued, jabbing at the cracked rock with a claw. "God destroyed the rightward path. The clearer the sign, the righter the road. You know this." "We have young in the tribe. We'll go right." The chief turned to Mal's mother. "Carve the path, scribe. Make it safe." As they followed the path down, the sun was eclipsed by the looming mountains, leaving them in unaccustomed darkness. Though it was still warm, Mal felt a chill run through him. The rain collected in a stream, and the stream became a river, carving its way down a canyon. When it was deep enough, they slipped in and swam. Mal spread his claws and pushed himself along. It felt good to be in the water, as natural as breathing. At the bottom of the canyon, the river fed into a lake so big they couldn't see the other side. Drell found a waypoint, carved in the smooth rock above the water. There was one path drawn, an arrow pointing across the lake and up another river. "There, you see," Hammond said to Saru. "We're on the right path." Saru narrowed his eye, but he said nothing. They swam across the dark lake, eager to start moving back up into the light, but when they finally reached the far end, they found no river. The walls of the canyon had collapsed, as if they'd been broken by some great claw. Hundreds of wild crawlers had collected mindlessly on the rocks, not knowing where to go. A waterfall cascaded over a high, impassable wall of rock. And even as his heart sank, Mal felt a sense of awe for the beauty of the scene. It was like God's cruel joke. Coming out of the water, Saru rose up on his claws and turned on Chief Hammond. "I warned you, you fool. You led us into a trap. It was a coincidence, Mal's mother said. No one could have known. You doomed us all to die, all for these weak creatures. Saru pushed Mal roughly. Hammond charged Saru, but the runner deflected the attack, and the chief splashed harmlessly back into the water. Only the strong survive, Saru shouted, pounding the chief with his heavy front claws. Hammond struggled to get back on equal ground, but was forced to retract into his shell under the furious blows. Saru hammered the chief until his shell cracked. It was soon over. Saru turned, claws shaking, water streaming down his face. Hammond was blind. He lost sight of the path. No one argued with him. They swam back across the cursed lake, the cold rain driving in their faces. Mal heard his mother's quiet sobbing in the dark. Walking up the river was much harder than it was swimming down. The light was draining out of the sky. Some of the older pilgrims, including his mother, had trouble seeing. She'd spent her life looking dayward. Now she groped blindly in the dark. Outside the light they would die, his mother had said. What if they got lost in the night and couldn't find their way out again? Eventually, they were back where they had started, at the cracked waypoint. Mal's mother marked the rightward waypoint with an X, a dead end, and recarved the leftward to make it safe. Mal shivered in the cold rain, eager to move on. Saru led the pilgrims up his mountain path. As he'd warned, it was not an easy climb. The trail was steep and slippery. Mal pushed himself carefully up with each step, his thin claws trembling with the effort, his breath steaming around him in the chill air. You can do it, Errol said behind him. Just put one claw after the other. In front of him, their mother was silent, lost in her own thoughts. Night was falling. Rain turned to snow, swirling around them in a howling wind. It was getting harder to see. The rock was icing over, making each step more dangerous. He struggled to focus, but felt himself slowing down. He was so tired. His mother slipped and fell to the rock with a sharp cry. Mal hurried to her side. Are you okay? He offered his tentacle, knowing it wasn't permitted, but not caring. She tried to get up, but cried out in pain and collapsed back to the ground. Her back claw was deeply cracked. She looked down at it, then closed her eye tightly. Get up, Mal said, and he grabbed his mother in a hug and tried to haul her up. He was so tired. He sat next to her and buried his face in her furry shell. Digging in her pack, she took her scribe's chisel and pressed it into his tentacle. It was heavy and cold. I love you both. I'm so proud of you. Then there were cold tentacles hauling him roughly up. Walk, Errol said, his eye hard as stone. You're making it to the top, even if you die there. His mother turned nightward, looking into the blizzard. Walk, Errol said, pushing him forward. Exhausted, he stumbled back into a walk. Just like that, his mother was gone. In front of him now was an old white-furred pilgrim, with a tiny, hard-shelled rider on her back. He focused on the parasite as he walked, envied its sedentary life. 100,000 steps later, the old pilgrim laid down and refused to get up. Mal glanced at her as he passed. Her eye was pale and blind. It would be so easy to just stop, to wait for winter to take him. It seemed like the natural thing to do, to stop and lay down, close his eye and sleep. Walk, Mal, Errol said behind him. Mal swiveled his eye forward and kept walking. No matter how many steps he took, the peak never seemed to get any closer. He looked at the ground, one claw after the other after the other. They lost 3 more pilgrims and half their crawlers before they finally reached the top of the pass. The snow howled in the open air, and an edge of sunset was just visible, flooding the stormy world below with hazy light. Mountains gold with autumn gave way to steaming green summer valleys, where large floaters hung lit like globes of fire. Rivers ran down to a boiling ocean at the edge of the earth. The sun was like a great eye laughing. It burned low on that distant sea, turning it into a bloody red gash. Part 3, Trial of Water. The path down from the mountains was long, but easy, and they traveled quickly, catching the light as best they could. By the time they reached the coast, God was slipping out of view behind the sea, and cold darkness was encroaching again. Runners were sent to scout up and down the beach for directions, and it was Errol who discovered the waypoint, a huge monument carved deeply into a high bluff. There was a choice, two trials etched side by side in the rock. In the left image, the horizon was a wavy line. Above the line was the usual half circle of the sun, and under the line was a crude face with sharp teeth. The right image was just a flat path. The sun was gone, and so was the face. At the bottom of each carving was a small circle, the waypoint, with a single straight arrow pointing up. The message was clear enough. They could swim and face some danger in the water, or they could wait for the sea to freeze and walk. "Should we wait?" Errol asked Chief Saru. "Winter is near." The chief pushed himself up on his claws and looked out across the water. "No," he said finally. "We've been walking in darkness for too long. It's time to move back into the light." "But this," Mal said, tapping the sinister face with his tentacle. "Light is right," Saru said with a stamp of his claw. Then he turned to address the tribe. "The closer to God, the safer we are from anything that lives outside his grace." There was general agreement. No one wanted to suffer through another long march in the dark. "Mark our path, scribe," Saru told Mal. Then he led the other pilgrims down the beach. Mal watched them trudge into the sea. Normally, runners would be sent ahead to report on the path, but with winter approaching, there was no time to waste. He fished his mother's chisel out of his pack. Using a smooth, round rock as a hammer, he carefully carved out the lines of the left trial, making the path safer. That face. He stopped and looked out at the sea. He wasn't a child anymore. He didn't believe in monsters. But was it possible? Could there be some evil creature lurking in the darkness under the water, hidden from God's purifying gaze? When the job was finished, he secured his pack and walked to the shore. Rain pattered in the waves, and he strained to see the rest of his tribe swimming into the sunset. He took a tentative step into the water. He'd expected it to be cold, but it had held some of the sun's heat and was warmer than the air. A few more steps, then he dove in, propelling himself with long strokes, eager to catch up with Errol and the others. "It'll be good for you to do some scouting with me," his brother shouted over the summer storm, a sweltering assault of sea and wind and rain. A herd of huge old floaters tumbled over the waves around them, bigger than he'd ever seen. Errol seemed at home in it all, and Mal struggled to keep up with him. "Always lurking back in the shadows, drawing your pictures," Errol continued. "You'll never win a mate that way." They were far ahead of the main group, swimming for an island right of dayward, hoping to find a waypoint there. The sun was high and orange on the boiling horizon, and it seemed to look down on them accusingly as though they were trespassing. "Mother was a scribe," Mal reminded him. "Yes, she was." Errol dove underwater and came up with a silver slither in his mouth. "I never thanked you for what you did for me," Mal said, "in the mountains." "We keep moving. That's all we can do. Step by step, and one day we'll be home." Letting himself sink, Mal peered down into the dark water. Shadows of submerged floaters, driven by the waves, finned creatures gliding as though on the wind. There was a whole alien world down there, just hidden from view. Were there underwater roads that led from one ocean to another? Drowned waypoints that showed the way? When he emerged, his brother swiveled his eye back at him and hesitated. "I noticed something about you, Mal. You never look at God. You look in the water, the sky, everywhere but dayward. Why is that?" It was true. The other pilgrims always had their eye fixed on the sunset as if enthralled. "I don't know," he said. "You need to look forward. Focus on where you're going." The island hung in haze only 3,000 steps away. It crawled with green, the desperate bloom of summer forever chased by winter. Where were they going exactly? Would they ever get there? Mal looked at his brother again and saw a shadow under him in the water, a huge black shape rising up. "Errol!" There was a flash of silver, long, sharp claws, a shiny black eye, a crunch as the thing snatched Errol, and a splash as it pulled him under, the sea swelling up in its massive wake. "Errol!" Mal shouted. He dove underwater, but the great shadow was already disappearing back into the murky deeps. In a blind panic, he broke the surface and thrashed for the island. 2,000 steps. The rain pounded, the wind screamed. Waves washed over him, threatening to drag him down into that cold, black night. 1,000. The island loomed up, a solid sanctuary in a world swimming with nightmares. He pounded through the shallows and up the beach, collapsing in the summer green growers, utterly spent. Why was Errol taken and not him? Errol, always looking forward, so blindly devoted he never saw death coming. Mal stared up at God now, that cruel orange eye wrapped in a hurricane. He stood, his tentacles clenched. "What do you want from us?" he shouted over the storm. It was uncomfortably hot and humid, so close to summer, and he rested on the island, waiting for autumn to catch up. He wandered the shore listlessly, looking nightward for any sign of his tribe. They never came. Maybe they'd taken another path when Errol and Mal didn't return. That was likely. Maybe they failed the trial and were all pulled under like his brother. Either way, he was alone now. As summer moved on, Mal explored the island, and he came across a waypoint carved in a bare patch of weather-worn rock. It showed the same choice as before: swim in the light with monsters, or wait for winter and walk the ice. Using the skin of a popped floater, he made a bigger pack for himself. He hunted the beach for migrating crawlers and slithers as they emerged from the sea, food for the long journey ahead. On the dayward side of the island, he came upon a glider bathing in the shallows. It was about half his size, with greenish fur and very long webbed claws. It might have been a distant cousin. Eventually, it noticed Mal and, startled, spread its huge claws and caught the wind, disappearing into the storm. It was hard to believe that he'd been afraid of harmless creatures like that when he was a child. And yet, some monsters were real. 1,000,000 steps passed, unwalked. The sun retreated to the horizon. The wild green growers ripened to gold. Leaves fell and fluffy seeds were cast on the wind. Wanderers like him, chasing the light. When night fell in a flurry of snow and the sea turned into a great icy plain, he walked on in darkness. Part 4, Trial of Time. He walked. He walked in the light but kept his eye on the ground and never on the sun. He had no particular love for the god he followed. He crossed great plains, climbed mountains. He swam across rivers and lakes and walked across great frozen seas. Sometimes he took the leftward path, sometimes the rightward. Sometimes he found his own path. 10,000,000 steps passed, one claw after the other. In his wandering, he met other pilgrim tribes who welcomed him as a foreign runner. They shared the road for a time, traded stories of their journeys. Sometimes he took a mate. He never found his lost tribe, not even a rumor of their passing. It wasn't important. Those who had mattered, his mother, his brother, were long dead. As he grew older, his fur turned autumn gold, then winter white, but his eye stayed clear and dark. The respect of the tribes turned into something like awe. No one had ever walked so far without succumbing to blindness. He was holy, they thought, a true pilgrim who could see the face of God. When asked, Mal had nothing to say about God. The only advice he offered was to look around, to enjoy the world and the journey, and not think so much about the destination. He took to walking alone, as old pilgrims did, in snow and darkness. The cold didn't bother him, and the night no longer held any terror. He wasn't a child anymore. At 1,000,000 steps, he was ancient. Eventually, his strong claws grew weak, and walking became as difficult as climbing mountains had been when he was young. Still, he kept going, one claw after the other, as he always had. A huge rock jutted out of the plain in the distance, eclipsing the thin remains of the sun, and Mal made his way toward it. The rock was a major waypoint, its pale surface covered with old symbols that he could barely read with his old eye in the dim red light. As he walked around the monument, he put a thin tentacle up to feel the carved lines that his eye missed. And then he stopped. Among the ancient symbols and maps, someone had etched a crude caricature, a creature with four claws, four tentacles, a wide, smiling eye. It looked off to the right at a circle, the eye of God. It was his carving, the one he'd drawn as a child a lifetime ago. Squinting into the fading sunset, he could just see the shadow of mountain ahead. Only then did he understand the cruel trick God had played on his pilgrims. There was no promised land off in the distance, no rest for the wicked, only a hard road that never ended. What terrible thing had his kind done that their God would punish them like this? The light was slipping away, the great eye closing. Maybe they had done nothing at all, and it was just God's nature to wander as all things did. The road was their home, his mother had said. Maybe it was as good a home as any. Mal dug in his pack for her dull chisel and, old tentacles shaking, carefully carved a large circle under the creature's claws, an endless road, a message for the next generation of pilgrims that wandered by. This task completed, he didn't see any reason to continue walking. He sat with his shell against the stone, stretched out his tired claws, closed his weary eye, and waited for night to fall.